interrupt the program now in progress to bring you a special report from Guam. This report will come to you via special military facilities and is being released at this time to the combined American networks. Now for the special news from Advanced Naval Headquarters, far out in the Pacific, we take you to Guam. Go ahead, Guam.
The following communique has this minute been issued by C.W. Nimitz, Fleet Admiral, U.S. Navy, Commander-in-Chief, U.S. Pacific Fleet and Pacific Ocean Areas. The communique. Vice Admiral Mark A. Mitcher is in command of a powerful task force of the Pacific Fleet, is now attacking enemy aircraft, air bases, and other military targets in and around Tokyo. Surface units of the Pacific Fleet are bombarding Iwo Jima. Aircraft of the Strategic Air Force Pacific Ocean Areas are bombing Iwo Jima and nearby positions in the Balloons. The fleet forces are under the tactical command of Admiral R.A. Spruance, Commander, 5th Fleet.
This is Art Prim, returning you to the United States.
In place of the program usually heard at this time, Mutual brings you a special news report from an American battleship 60 miles off Iwo Jima in the volcanoes. This is the first word heard from the American 5th Fleet in several weeks, weeks during which the 5th Fleet has been cloaked in complete silence. Throughout this report, you will hear the actual sound of anti-aircraft pom-poms and 5-inch guns. You will hear Leslie Nichols describing the crash of an enemy plane into the sea. This report, which was made in the dead of night under a clear, moonlit sky, was flown from the battle scene to Guam. And from that far-off Pacific Fleet outpost, it was sent almost 6,000 miles to the mainland.
This is Leslie Nichols speaking from a battleship which is not far off the volcano island. We have just come under attack, and our guns have opened up. And just now, our guns, or at least the guns of one of the forts, have shot down an enemy plane. It has fallen over on the horizon, just ahead of us. We're steaming in the direction of it, and now it appears that we can see just the remnants of the plane burning on the water up ahead. I can dimly make out, in the light of a little more than a new moon, the shadows of the other ships around us. There go our guns. They're just passing the cotton around up here. Our position now is high up on the foremast tower of this battleship. There's a great deal of smoke around the fort. You just heard our 5-inch shells go again. That is a report that planes are circling the ship. We may open up at any moment. There seems to be an enemy plane off the port beam directly across from me here. We're just pouring lead up there into the sky. When those 5-inch guns go off, well, you certainly know it. It almost shakes the very stuffing out of you. And that concludes this broadcast from a battleship with the 5th Fleet, some 60 miles off the island of Iwo Jima. And just now, here's a flash report. The admiral of our group tells us that we deserve a well done for having shot down that Jap plane. And you ought to see the gunners and all the crew of this mighty battleship rejoicing now, because it happens to be their first Jap plane.
We've been doing a lot of singing aboard here when we were Before we got into dangerous waters, we used to sing at night up under the stars, and this sergeant was our prize singer here. We used to call him back. Now, what song do you suggest?
Well, we have one called Bless 'Em All. You've probably all heard it. And someone else wrote some more words. I don't know who done it, but we have these other words also we'll add in.
That's a pretty popular song with the Marines. We know the Raiders sang it, and it's been sung all over the South Pacific. And if you sing it out good and loud, maybe they can get the words back home, and they'll, maybe it'll mean something to them.
Yeah, I think it will.
All right, how about leaving them?
All right, you guys ready? Now, loud. We're Marines, and we're fighting like hell, heading for Tokyo. We've got every weapon to shoot up the town. We're scattering Japs all around. It's a hell of a place, this part of the world. Nothing but jungles and swamps. But when the war's over, we'll all live in clover. So come on, guys, next stop is Guam. Bless them all, bless them all, the long and the short and the tall. Bless all the pelicans and dog faces too. Bless all my friends and above all, bless you. So we're saying goodbye to you all. As back to our foxholes we crawl. There'll be no promotions this side of the ocean. So cheer up, my boys, bless them all.
I'd like you to meet some of these Marines very briefly. Their attention at the moment is focused on the beach and on the firing going on. But let's call a fellow over here. What do you do?
Gunner. I'm gunner on the half track.
You're going to handle machine guns while we're going in if you have to?
Yes.
Well, what state are you from?
Arkansas.
How do you feel right now?
Oh, I feel all right.
You lost all nervousness?
Well, I never was nervous yet. And I'm not nervous yet.
Good. You thinking of anybody back home?
Yes.
Who's back there?
Mom. Mom and Dad.
Okay, thanks a lot. I'd like you to meet the gun commander now. Can't give you his name because of military security, but say something, will you?
There's much I can say. I just wish we was up there on the beach with the rest of the fellas. Our turn will come soon enough, I guess.
You're anxious to get there, huh?
Okay.
All right, thanks a lot. He's hanging on the side of this tank lighter, staring out at the beach with his helmet thrown back over his head. And here's another fella.
There isn't much I can say.
What do you do, Jerry?
Communications chief for the weapons company.
You're all set to go, huh?
All set and rare.
Well, I haven't seen you look nervous the entire time.
Don't feel nervous. It's just two butterflies in the stomach, that's all.
All right, thanks. An American plane, two of them, two bombers are going over us. Now you may have heard them in the background. I'd looking around now to see somebody else. Come on over here. I'm going to give you a chance. Here's a great big, tall, real typical Marine who said he wants to say something to the folks back home. And incidentally, he is a fella who is so typical. You've heard that the only thing practically left to a serviceman is his right to gripe. Well, this old boy has really overplayed that. Now we're going to give him a chance publicly. You got any gripes just before you go into combat? You feel fine?
Yeah.
Everything good? You got the best chow in your pack?
Sure, everything.
All right, I see you got a new pair of dungarees. How'd you get that?
Number four holes.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Well, he didn't have much to gripe about now. So I guess everything's all right. And now we're streaking in to the line of departure. That means we are going to the line from which we will shortly leave. You can hear our motor, the engine of this tank lighter, roaring as we move quickly through the water up to a distance of about 2,000 yards from the shore. There's all hell to pay directly ahead of us. The beach looks as though it's practically on fire. We've now heard word that casualties in those first waves were very light. The terrific roar around us is coming from mostly from our own amphibious tractors. There go American dive bombers going down on the beach, back of the beach. We can see the beach very clearly now. I'll tell you one thing I'm thinking right now of my home, of my wife and my little daughter, and I hope they're all right. And I hope I come back to them all right. That's about what you think of now. I tried to get some of these men to talk, but I know deep down that's what they're thinking of.
Well, they're big Jap stuff dropping in the water up ahead of us a little. We'll probably have to go through it. There's great clouds of black smoke.
What was that?
Huh? Oh, yeah. Oh, we can see machine guns on the cliff now. Directly ahead of us, firing out at us. Boy, they're coming straight at us now. I think we're a little out of their range. I'm not sure. Also, the fire, the whole wall is covered with smoke. There, we've hit it. We're grounding on it. We're up on it. We're up on it. In a minute, the ramp will go down, and the men's going to scream out. Non-com has just wished everybody good luck. Everybody's sort of grabbed. Machine gun just fired. Our machine gun just fired from the fast track. Three or four shots. You probably heard it. The men are now going out ahead. They're moving out ahead of the half track. Boy, it's up to my knees. I think my pistol got wet. I don't know. It's pretty high. I'm moving away from the half track now. The men are motioning to each other to move forward. The surface of the coral is quite level. Although it's bumpy, but it's not, at least not jagged, not full of foam. What's the matter? Hey, spread out! Spread out! Hey, John, I'd like to be in there with you. There's a lot of fire coming in this water, but no one has seen yet has been hit. Fortunately, it's amazing you can't see anyone in the beach. Yes, I see a marine running along through the coconuts. Yeah, there's one boy been hit. One boy's been hurt now. They're putting him into the rubber boat. Four men putting him into the rubber boat. I don't know who it is. Can't see him. But he has been hurt. And they've got him. He's lying on his side. Another boy's just been hurt. Another boy's been hit. But I think he can kill. The officer is hollering at him to get him. No, he's all right. He's climbed into the rubber boat. And I guess he's all right. There's a lot of fire around us now. We're almost at shore. I should say about 100 feet or a little more from shore. There are two Marines now in our rubber boat. Another boy's just been hurt. He's hanging onto the tail with both arms. Hey, tell them to small while they stick a guy in the tail. Oh, there's one Marine lying on his back. Now we're at the beach. There's one Marine lying on his back with blood pouring out of him into the water. And here, we're reaching the beach now. We're going to come up on it. And there's fire all around us. And the Marines are still on the beach. They have not made any further headway. At least there's a whole, must be two or three waves here on the beach. In fact, all of the half tracks are lined up now around us on the beach. None of them have been able to move past here. There go the corpsmen are walking around. They don't seem to be taking any cover. They're walking upright, looking for casualties, moving from one guy to the next. Men are jumping back and forth next to us. Now some of the Marines are motioning for the next wave to come in. And here comes another halfback behind us with men coming in after us. They're waiting too. I don't think we've left any men in the water.
Somehow the battle for Iwo epitomizes the whole Pacific War. Rugged, dirty, barren, and insignificant, useless except in war, but the scene of one of the cruelest fights in this country's history. In a recent unique broadcast, Bud Foster, on a flagship at Iwo, answered questions put to him by Robert McCormick back on Guam. Here is Bob McCormick in Guam, beginning the two-way broadcast with Bud Foster at Iwo.
There's been a lot of talk about the Japs going underground. Just exactly what does this mean?
Well, Bob, it's almost unbelievable. Everything on Iwo Jima is underground or buried in the side of the volcano. Nothing I have seen so far during the time I've spent on this island has been above the ground. The Marines have had to dig the Japs out of every sunken pillbox, blockhouse, and cave that escaped a direct hit. And there were lots of them. And there'll be lots more before this is over, no matter how many tons of shells we pour in here. One pillbox I was in was buried about 10 feet deep, and a long tunnel led off to still another buried pillbox. Well, I started to crawl through to see what was what in search of a decent souvenir for you when one of the Marines warned me there might be more live Japs at the other end. So I beat a hasty retreat. It must have taken years to build up these fortifications. Many of them are solid concrete, a foot and a half thick. Only a big shell or a Marine with a flamethrower or well-placed grenade can put them out of commission.
Square one around those trackers.
We're trying to pick up the communications from the tanks, which have been lying to the shore, as they...
Hold it up. There's a cap.
At this very moment, American Marines are battling stiff resistance on the island of Iwo. This may be one of the toughest fights in the entire Pacific War. For details on the battle in progress, we take you now to Guam for a report by war correspondent Arthur Prim, speaking for the combined American networks via special military facilities. Go ahead, Guam.
This is Arthur Prim, speaking from Pacific Fleet headquarters at Guam. I have just returned from a breathtaking observation trip over the bitter battlefield at Iwo Jima in the Volcano Islands. And I can assure you that the fighting there is fierce and bloody. As we flew in close to the ground over the southern part of the island where the fighting is centered, we all sensed that below us was developing the most significant and grimmest battle of the Pacific War to date. Iwo Jima is 8 square miles of unadulterated hell, with hundreds of carrier-based planes in the air and more than 800 ships of all types and sizes standing offshore. We came in over Iwo at high noon. The weather was rough and the sea was rough, but through the driving rain, we could see more ships than any of us had ever seen together before in our lives. Altogether, it was a mighty armada, but what caught our attention at once was the scores and scores of planes which filled the sky. Our carrier-based attacking force was made up mostly of Curtis Hell Divers, Grumman Hellcats, and Grumman Avengers. On several occasions, we saw as many as 100 in the air at the same time. The two main objectives for our planes and surface vessels was the northern cliff of Mount Suribachi and the stone quarry which stands in the path of our northward advance. Dive bombers, torpedo bombers, and fighters would come in groups of 4s, 10s, 20s, and 50s and drop their bombs against the side of the cliff where the Japs are tunneled in. Many of the planes were carrying rockets, since we could hear them over their intercom system being ordered to launch their rockets against the face of the cliff. At one time, 22 peeled off from 7,000 feet and roared in to launch their rockets against Suribachi and strafe the defenders there. After their run was completed, the observer was heard to say, "Good work, right on the buck." While the planes were carrying out their bombing runs, battleships, cruisers, and destroyers standing offshore also pumped their high-velocity shells into the side of the perpendicular cliff. Great plumes of smoke, dust, and flames leaked from the northern side of the volcano as if it were again erupting. Suribachi-yama seemed to leap and then settle back again. We obviously regard this as our number one target at the moment, and it's easy to see why. As long as the Japs are dug in on its cliffs, they control the entire southern plain of the island, which is now the scene of savage fight. We hadn't lost many landing vessels on the beachhead, testifying to yesterday's official communique that the landing was made against slight resistance. None of our ships at sea had been damaged, as far as we could see from the air, and there were probably not more than 24 landing boats smashed and ashore. Some units of our Marine forces have secured about two-thirds of the airfield in the south, and I could see our tanks lumbering along its 5,000-foot runway. On the western side of the airfield, a battle was still raging, and was centered around a large volcanic depression wherein the Japs are entrenched. Our tanks had this area almost entirely surrounded, and we could see them shooting it out. Farther north, in the middle of the island, the Japs seemed to be dug in along the runways of airfield number 2, and have barricaded themselves behind revetments on the field itself. They are very hard to spot, even from our low altitude, since they're almost entirely underground. They would have to be, since nobody could stand the tremendous plastering that that island is taking if they had been on the surface. A group of planes had been circling the area at low altitude for several minutes, and I heard one of the pilots say, "Let's bomb this thing and get out of here. We're shot full of holes." At no time could I see our carrier fleet, but they must have been all around the area, since the planes seemed to be coming in from all different directions. By this time, I too thought it might be a good idea if we got out of there, and suggested the same to our pilot, Lieutenant John Brooks of Iowa. We made one more photographic run along the entire length of Iwo Jima and wrecked. As we got several miles away, I could see a great pall of smoke and dust hanging over the entire island to a distance of almost 1,000 feet. The Battle of Iwo Jima will be recorded as one of the most savage ever fought by the United States Marines. We were only 20 miles south of Iwo Jima when a Grumman Avenger pulled up alongside our Liberator. The pilot stuck out his bronzed head, grinned, and jerked his right thumb up in front of him. It's that cocky, confident signal of the airman that everything's going to be okay. This is Arthur Prem speaking for the Combined American Network after a D-plus-1 flight over Iwo Jima in the volcanoes.
Well, this is Staff Sergeant Alvin Josephi, Jr., just behind the front lines, we've come up to one of the assault companies of the 21st Marines. And these men are just off the lines, they're freshening up, and probably will be going back again. We want to describe some of them to you and let them talk to you. These men are in dungarees, they're camouflaged helmet covers, they're washing up, there have been barrels of water, 50-gallon drums, dumped here in this revetment underneath a damaged Japanese plane. And they are taking water from these drums, putting them in their helmets, and are soaking up their arms and chests and faces. How long is it, Joe, since you last had a bath?
About 10 days.
Well, what's your name, where you from, what's your rate, and everything else?
Corporal Joseph Gerritsen, Pittman, New Jersey.
And you're a scout, right?
Right.
And you haven't had a bath in 10 days?
That's right.
All right, here's the sergeant. What's your name?
Sergeant Robert Fowler, Washington, D.C.
Say, they call you the GOAT, don't they?
That's right.
How did you get that name?
Oh, Corman gave me that a couple of years ago.
Why?
Because I look like a goat.
Where was that, up in Bougainville?
I was on the canal.
Well, you've been in a couple of campaigns, haven't you?
That's right. Bougainville and Guam and here.
Well, how does Iwo Jima stack up to the other two?
Stacks up pretty good.
You mean this is tougher?
This is.
Here's a fella. What's your name?
Pritchard. Corporal James S. Pritchard. Memphis, Tennessee.
From Memphis, Tennessee. And what do you do? What's your job?
Fire team leader.
A fire team leader. Well, how did you get so shaved up? Do you shave every day up in the lines?
This is the first time in 10 days.
Has it been pretty tough going?
Pretty rough, yeah.
Now, what features this particular fighting? The pillboxes?
Yes, sir.
And what's that like?
Well, it's pretty rugged. You don't know where they're at. Every time you face one pillbox, there's others covering you.
Have you had a lot of casualties in this company?
Several, yes, sir.
Okay, thanks. How about some of the other fellas? Here's a fella, you even shampooed your hair. What's your name?
Corporal Ernst P. Ewing, Uniontown, Pennsylvania.
And how are you feeling after a few days of fighting here?
Well, I feel well as can be expected, I guess.
Have you gotten many nips?
I don't know whether I'd say I shot them myself or not, but I guess I helped to get a few of them.
Are these Japs any tougher than others that you faced earlier?
I wouldn't say these Japs are as tough as the others. They're a little better fortified on this island.
What's your rating name?
My name is Jones, Noah C., Corman for the outfit here.
You're a corman with the outfit. You go along and take care of men who are wounded, right?
That's right. Do the best to patch them up.
All right, have you had many casualties that you've had to work on?
I've had quite a few bad ones, but seem to take care of them okay.
Okay. All right, who else haven't we had on here?
PFC Eugene D. Tommaso, 18 South Street, Woodford, New York. Boy, do I wish I was back there now.
What would you do? What would you like back there other than a date with a girl? What are you thinking of?
What am I thinking of?
All right, he turns away with a big grin on his face. Oh, yeah, here's a fella. Kind of bashful, aren't you?
No, I'm standing here.
What's your name?
Corporal Jack R. Watson, from Sanford, North Carolina.
All right, what do you do, Corporal?
Demolition.
Have you blown up these pillboxes?
Well, they use flamethrower mostly. Don't get much chance to get up with the demolitions. I think we'll get a chance later on, though.
We delay the music of the Cleveland Symphony Orchestra to bring you a special report by the Secretary of the Navy, James B. Forrestal, speaking from Guam. This report was transcribed within the hour via special military facilities.
Up the precipitous side of a 600-foot extinct volcano, so precipitous that it seemed almost vertical, went a platoon of American Marines. Even through a glass, they seemed tiny figures scrambling skyward against a background of blue. And then a few minutes later, from the thousands of throats upon ships and on land and sea, came the sudden cry, "There goes the flag." That was how the Stars and Stripes went up on the first island of Japan's outer rim of island defenses. It was at 11 o'clock, Friday, February 23rd. We saw that flag going up halfway on the journey to shore with Lieutenant General Holland Smith of the United States Marines. It was the high point in a week of hard fighting, fighting which continues and will continue for some days to come. The Japs don't want to lose Iwo Jima. It's the first step in a sequence of doom for their homeland. They have put into it every kind of defense, and they have had years to plan that defense. As you know by now, Iwo Jima is a tiny island, 5 miles by 2.5, coming to a tapering point at its southern end. Its terrain, unlike that of some other atolls we have taken, rises some distance from the sea. Mount Suribachi, where our flag went up on Thursday, being its highest point. Its beaches are soft volcanic ash, so loose and crumbling that one Marine said it was like trying to dig a foxhole in a bag of wheat. The Japs took full and skillful advantage of that terrain and of the fact that there could be no tactical surprise as to where an enemy would land. We had to land on the beaches we did land on, and it had to be a frontal assault. They had planted mortars, rocket gun emplacements, and artillery all over that grim and barren island, so that there were streams of converging fire at the beachhead over which the Marines had to come scrambling in from the sea. The Japs, as they had done at Tarawa and at Kwajalein and at Saipan and Guam, had deep burrows under the shelving ridges of Mount Suribachi and caves along the rising shoreline to the north. Some of these caves had connecting galleries, and they will be digging dead Japs and some live Japs even out of them probably for many weeks to come. But in spite of all the skill of the Japanese defense, the Marines went ashore, and they have exacted since a 4-to-1 toll in death from our enemies. America is on the march in the Pacific, a march back to civilization, order, and decency. You can see it in islands like Guam and Saipan. The way back is being cleared by fighting men from every state in our Union. Blue Jackets, Marines, soldiers, and airmen. You can be confident of them, of the naval airmen who have done a tremendous job in this Iwo Jima operation, of the Marines, of the Army Air Forces, and you can be confident of their leaders, of men like Fleet Admiral Nimitz, Vice Admiral Turner, Lieutenant General Harmon, Lieutenant General Holland Smith, Major General LeMay of the 21st Bomber Command, and finally, of that glorious aggregation of fighting men, the 5th Amphibious Corps of the Marines, which under Lieutenant General Harry Schmidt's direction is leading the fighting at Iwo Jima. It is a great team, and Americans can be proud of it, and of the country that produced them.
We return you to the United States.